Two children and two adults were taken to hospital following the lunchtime attack. A knife has been recovered and a suspect detained. Our Ireland correspondent Stephen Murphy says passers-by stepped in to help.
We've heard from witnesses that there were a number of people who saw what was unfolding in an incredibly central and busy part of Dublin city centre and were compelled to intervene in what must have been a terrifying and incredibly dangerous scenario.
A four-day pause in fighting between Israel and Hamas is due to begin tomorrow morning. It will mark the gradual release later in the day of 50 women and children held by Hamas in return for 150 Palestinian prisoners being set free. Aid will also be allowed into Gaza. Foreign Secretary Lord Cameron has welcomed the development as he met the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
I hope everyone who's behind this agreement can make it happen to bring relief to those families, including, of course, British nationals who've been taken hostage.
We're committed to getting everyone out, but we'll continue with our war aims because Hamas has already promised that they will do this again and again and again.
Net migration to the UK has been revised up to a record high. It hit 745,000 in the year to December 2022. Scotland's Health Secretary has promised to cooperate with a parliamentary probe into an iPad bill of around £11,000. The inquiry will consider whether Michael Matheson's claims for public money met the requirements of Holyrood's expenses scheme. Bosses of collapsed retailer Wilko will face MPs next week to explain why its owners were taking money out of the company and a shortfall in the pension fund. The chain, which employed 12,000 people, went into administration in August. And Liam Gallagher, Fred Again and Lana Del Rey are all set to headline at the Reading and Leeds festivals next year. The Oasis star will use the event to mark the 30th anniversary of the band's debut album. That's the latest. I'm Faye Rowlands.
This is Phoenix FM. On 98 FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
Good evening. 2 minutes past seven on a Thursday night. You're listening to Brentwood and Billy Ricky's Phoenix 98 FM. Thanks, as always, to Darren for another excellent 98 Not Out show for the last hour. For the next hour, I'm John Chubb. Welcome into the non-league hour. Plenty going on tonight. But first of all, while I get myself sorted out, some music, some vintage Rolling Stones. Here's Brown Sugar.
Go!
community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
So welcome into the non-league hour for Thursday the 23rd of November 2023. I'm John Chubb. My special guest on the show this evening is Rick Prescott of Clapton Community FC, currently riding high in their first ever season in the Thurlow non-league Division 1 South. I'm going to be talking to him a bit later on in the programme. We'll also have a roundup of all the results from the last week, a couple of reports as well, some transfer news, and looking forward to the next week's fixtures as well. But starting our roundup of the results in the National League, and what a result for Southend United on Saturday. The club's takeover looms closer, or being well, they hosted league leaders Chesterfield at Roots Hall, a side who had only been beaten once in the league this season, and the Shrimpers managed a 2-1 victory over them, thanks to a 60th minute penalty from Jack Bridge, and Oldacre of Chesterfield, David Oldacre, putting the ball through his own net 3 minutes later, after Will Grigg had given Chesterfield a 27th minute lead. The biggest crowd of the season at Roots Hall, 8,275 were there, and that was the biggest non-league attendance of the day as well. A day of celebration, as it turned out, for Southend. Also winning on Saturday were Dagenham and Redbridge. They travelled to Worcestershire to take on the bottom club, Kidderminster Harriers, and managed to beat them by the odd goal. Tom Eastman scored the only goal of the match for the Daggers, 8 minutes from time, and that leaves Dagenham and Redbridge one place above Southend in 13th place. On to the FA Trophy, because Saturday saw the second round proper, and it was a day of mixed fortunes for our local sides who were involved in the competition. First off, Billericay Town played Tamworth. Billericay have used to win Premier League, of course. They entertained Tamworth, who went into this match as the leaders in the National League North. And watching that one for us on Phoenix Sport on Saturday was Jack Patmore.
Jack Patmore reporting for Phoenix FM from New Lodge. Billericay Town secure a 3-1 win over Tamworth in the Isuzu FA Trophy second round. It was an uneventful opening 30 minutes, as neither side had many chances of note. However, the Blues were looking to take first blood early on, and Alfie Chirulu wasn't able to get his shot away in time before being closed down in the box. The visitors sit top of the Vanarama National League North, and they had a chance when ex-Chesterfield forward Michael Giassi saw his driven cross across the Billericay box, but nobody in a Tamworth shirt could poke home. Chirulu gave Billericay the lead on the 39-minute mark. He cut inside and put the ball into the top left-hand corner, as Jess Singh had no chance in saving his fierce strike. Confidence was now clearly flowing through Chirulu, and he had an audacious effort from just inside his own half saved by Singh. The Blues made the ideal start to the second half, with a second as Bradley Stevenson's driven strike snuck into the corner. They nearly wrapped up the win on the 62-minute mark as Stevenson threaded through Moses Emmanuel, but he was denied by the feet of Singh. Billericay added a third on 67 minutes as James Blanchfield sent a through ball through to Emmanuel, and he slotted into the corner. Tamworth netted a consolation late on with Ty Deacon's header, but Billericay progressed to the third round. It finishes here, Billericay Town 3, Tamworth 1.
So a fantastic result for Billericay Town, and they will be playing away to Wealdstone of the National League in the third round, so pretty tough tie for them. Averley, meanwhile, entertained St Ives Town, and St Ives took the lead in the 66th minute, and Averley were 5 minutes away from going out of the competition. But Emmanuel Ogunrindi equalised for the Millers 5 minutes from the end. And in the last minute of normal time, Ogunrindi added a second and put the home side in front. There were 11 minutes of time added on, which must have been pretty nervous for the Millers and the home supporters. But Averley held on for the win. They have a home tie again in the third round when they will face Hungerford Town, who play in the Southern League Premier Division South. Elsewhere, there were exits for a couple of other local sides. Disappointment even for Braintree Town, who travelled to Gloucester City, who are currently at the foot of the National League North. But the home side beat Braintree by 3-0. Meanwhile, Redbridge, who were one of the lowest ranked sides left in the competition, travelled to Hereford, another National League North side, and they enjoyed a great first half. James Barlow put the Motormen ahead against the Step 2 side 5 minutes before half time, but Hereford got their act together in the second half and scored 4 times. So I finished Hereford 4, Redbridge 1. Also in the third round draw, Dagenham and Redbridge have a home tie against Peterborough Sports, who play in the National League North. Southend United also at home. They will face Hampton and Richmond Borough, who play in the National League South at Roots Hall. Those third round ties are due to be played on Saturday, the 9th of December. I'm John Charmer, inviting you to join me here on Phoenix FM on Saturday afternoons for Phoenix Sport. The top local, national and international sports stories, plus live scores, results, reports, interviews, quiz questions and my sporting anniversaries. And lots of great music too. That's Phoenix Sport, every Saturday from 3 till 6pm here on Phoenix 98 FM. So moving on to the National League South, where there wasn't any action on Saturday due to the FA Trophy, but there were a couple of midweek games involving our local sides on Tuesday night. On Monday night, I nearly forgot, Chelmsford City hosted Maidenhead United, that was it, at Melbourne Park, and they slipped to a disappointing 1-0 defeat, Maidstone scoring the only goal of the match in the 22nd minute. Better luck for Braintree Town on Tuesday night. They travelled to Dartford and they picked up a 2-0 win thanks to 2 second-half goals from Aaron Blair. And there was also a match for Avely on Tuesday night. They also travelled across to Kent and faced Tunbridge Angels. Avely took the lead just before half-time in a run of penalty. That was converted by Aluwadara Adembi, but Tunbridge equalised 20 minutes into the second half to produce a 1-1 draw and gain a share of the spoils. So the National League South table currently looks like this. Yeovil Town are still top. They are 11 points clear of second place Avely, and they also have a game in hand on the Millers. Avely on 33, above Maidstone United, also on 33 on goal difference, although Maidstone have a game in hand. Bath City, Hampton and Richmond, Braintree in 6th place on 30 points, and Worthing just behind them on 29, currently make up the playoff spots. Worthing have a couple of games in hand on the Iron, by the way, and Chelmsford City have once again dropped out of the playoff spots. They played 19 and won 29 points, and they are currently in 8th place. Just two of our local Isthmian Premier League sides were in action on Saturday. Concord Rangers once again having a match postponed. Hornchurch, the leaders, still 10 points clear at the top of the table after they brushed aside Potters Bar Town at Bridge Avenue. Nathan Bertrand Cooper, Adi Yusuf and Sean Scannell were the goal scorers for the Urchins. Canvey Island had to make do with a point in their home match against Cheshire at Park Lane. Cheshire took the lead after 19 minutes. Connor Hubble equalised from the penalty spot for the goals 5 minutes before half-time, and Canvey are currently in 13th place. Billericay Town, who of course were in trophy action on Saturday, they are in fourth spot. And Enfield Town is second, Chatham Town in third, and Hastings United in fifth. The other side's currently in the playoffs. Hashtag United are in eighth place on 22 points. Concord remain at the foot of the table. They've played just 12, which is less than nearly everybody else in the division, but they just have the 6 points to show for it at the moment. Having go Borough, Potters Bar beaten by Hornchurch on Saturday, and Kingstonian at the other side currently in the drop zone.
98 FM.
This is Phoenix 98 FM.
Focusing on the Isthmian North now, and a look at Saturday's results, first of all. There were just the 3 matches. Walden Tittery, their match against Bury Town was abandoned with the score 1-1 due to floodlight failure, and so that will be replayed at a later date. So just the 3 results. Great win for Brentwood Town away to Grays Athletic. Andrew Freeman, Ramel Evans Royal, and Daniel Ogilay scored in the last 10 minutes to give the Brentwood Blues a 3-0 victory, and that proved to be the end for Grays manager Mark Stimpson, who was sad during the week. Basildon United continued their fine form. They beat Goulston by 2-1. Kai Judensmith Ali, the scorers in the second half for the Bees. Ali scoring a last minute winner. But Basildon are once again looking for a new manager. More of that in just a moment. The other match saw Brighton Sea Region beat Ipswich Wanderers 4-1 thanks to Kojo Apenteng, who opened the scoring for Brighton Sea in the 29th minute after Ipswich had taken a 23rd minute lead. Zach Littlejohn scored in the 62nd and 71st minutes, and Dominic Locke completed the rout a minute from time to give Region a 4-1 victory. So, as I say, managerial changes, and Darren Manning has left Basildon United to take over at Grays Athletic after Grays sacked Mark Stimpson earlier in the week. Stimpson was originally Grays manager between 2002 and 2008, enjoying great success. He took them up to the National League and even into the playoffs 1 year. And he returned to the club in the summer after leaving his previous post in charge of Hornchurch, but he couldn't repeat the success he had during his first spell. And Grays currently without a win, one of only 2 sides in the league without a win, decided to make a change. So they made an approach for Manning, who resigned his post at Basildon United, and he has now taken over at Grays. So Basildon now searching for a new boss. A few other bits of transfer news from the Isthmian North, by the way. Sam Bantic, man of many clubs, he has returned to Heybridge Swifts after recently having a brief spell at Grays Athletic, and he scored for them on his debut against New Salamis. And also, sorry, there is some more transfer news here. Just bear with me 1 second. Josh Isude has returned to Witham Town. He started this season with Sittingbourne, also played for Bishop Stortford, and he is now in his second spell at Worthing, having originally played for them during the 21-22 season. And Adam Weiss, formerly of Basildon United, Maldon Tiptree, and others. Great Wakering Rovers, another former club of his, he has signed for Enfield. Billy Roast has joined at Witham Town, who have had a stuttering start to the season in the Isthmian North. He has previously played for Concord Rangers and Dartford, and also Coggeshall Town, and from the beginning of this season, Brentwood Town. And Walthamstow have made a new signing. Experienced defender Jason Beck has rejoined the club after he previously played for Stoke for four seasons when they were in the Essex Senior League, but he's back there now. One other match on Sunday in the Isthmian North, and Bowes and Pitsy travelled to Enfield and picked up a 3-1 victory. Second half goals from Manny Oluwasalamo in the 50. He scored in the 56th minute. Lewis Chambers scored twice in 3 minutes as well. Enfield replied in the 80th, but Bowes held on for all 3 points. So Isthmian North currently looks like this. Lowestoft's Town still top. They're 4 points clear. Felixstowe and Walton United in second, Basildon in third, Brightlingsea in fourth, and Brentwood Town in fifth. The other side's in the playoff spots. Maldon Tiptree is sixth, Bowes and Pitsy currently seventh, Walthamstow are eighth, Hayley Swifts ninth, Redbridge 12th. Looking further down, Witham Town in 17th place, just above Grays Athletic, second from bottom of just 5 points. Stowmarket Town, the only other side without a win in Isthmian North, they are still bottom with only 2 points from their opening 10 matches. And there was another fine result for Waltham Abbey on Saturday in the Southern League Division 1 Central. They travelled to Biggleswade Town and they picked up a 3-2 victory. Abbey still in third place on 27 points, just behind North Lee and Bedford Town.
Shout to the top.
It's the Style Council and Shout to the Top. 27 minutes past 7 on a Thursday night. You're listening to the Non-League Hour on Phoenix 98 FM. There were some games in the third round of the Essex Senior Cup this last week. The first tie to be played in the third round was on Friday at the Community Stadium, where a Colchester United side beat Haybury Swifts by 4-0. Monday night saw Ilford take on Witham Town, and Witham won 4-0 at Crickle Field. Some ties on Tuesday night as well. Basildon United, Darren Manning's last match in charge of the Bees, saw Dagenham and Redbridge beat them 4-1 at Gardiner's Close. It finished Brightley Sea Regent 1, Maldon Tiptree 1, but the Jammers, Maldon Tiptree 1, the penalty shootout 6-5. Also, Little Oakley went through. They beat FC Clacton away from home by 3-0. Walthamstow drew 2-2 with Billericay Town, but Stowe won the penalty shootout 4-2, so knocked out there is being Premier League opponent. Finished Canvey Island 4, White Ensign 1. And Hornchurch 0, hashtag United 7. Buckhurst Hill knocked out Waltham Abbey, winning by 3-0. The other tie tonight took place at the Brentwood Centre Arena, where Brentwood Town took on Tilbury, and Andy Gardner was down there watching the action.
A dramatic end to this Essex Senior Cup tie at the arena, and it's finished Brentwood Town 3, Tilbury 2. A dramatic 2-goal burst from Brentwood in the last minute or so. Both sides really went for it, full strength teams taking the Essex Senior Cup very seriously, and it was a really entertaining game to watch. Tilbury started really well, went in front early on after 12 minutes when Harry Donovan saw Minters out of position, and he whipped in a shot which put the visitors in front. Brentwood almost equalised after 22 minutes when a ricochet in the box forced a good save out of North. And just 2 minutes later, Tilbury almost went 2-up when Sam Carter shot narrowly wide. And they paid for that miss, because another 2 minutes later, the game's standout player, John Nzengo, got to the byline and put over a great cross for Alex Crawford, and he headed home the equaliser after 26 minutes. Captain for the night, Crawford, making it 1-1 at half-time. Much the same in the second half. Tilbury going back in front after 62 minutes. Donovan this time the provider with a low ball to the back post, and Harvey Brown was sliding in to make it 2-1. And really, other than a shot from Crawford and another one from Sam Deering that was blocked, that was all Brentwood really could muster in the closing stages, and Tilbury looked like they'd done enough and were going to see out the game until the 89th minute. And again, it was John Nzengo, a burst of pace into the box, and his cross found the left back Josh Rizzocchi, and he finished emphatically to make it 2-2. That was 89 minutes. So we had 5 minutes of injury time, and what a dramatic period of injury time it was. First of all, Alex Clark almost won it for Tilbury with a shot going just wide. And then in the 94th minute, Nzengo again, the third assist of the game for him, driving at pace into the box. He was brought down, and a penalty for Brentwood, which was converted by captain for the night, Crawford, for his second goal of the game. Wait, was that all over? No, it wasn't. Tilbury, for the very last kick of the game, 96th minute, when Dan Trendle sent a crashing shot off the crossbar. So it was tough on Tilbury. Very entertaining match. Great for the neutrals as well. But Brentwood have just done enough with the game's standout player, John Nzengo, just having that little bit of quality which Tilbury lacks. It's finished here at the arena. Brentwood Town 3, Tilbury 2.
So quite a cup tie at the arena on Tuesday night. There was one tie on Wednesday. Athletic Newham faced Grays Athletic, and Grays edged through to the next round, winning by 5-4. just before you can hear me speak with my guest Vic Prescott, I'm just going to run through the Essex Senior League results for the last week. Friday night saw a couple of games. It finished Buckhurst Hill 0, Barking 2 and Woodford Town 1, Takeley 1. Then on Saturday, finished Athletic Newham 0, Tilbury 2, Fremford 0, Little Oakley 1, Housley Town 3, Ilford 2, Holbridge Sports 0, Stanmore Rovers 5, Saffron Walden Town 0, Romford 1, Sporting Bengal versus Great Wakering Rovers was postponed. And Tuesday night, there was one match, Stanway Rovers. They played against Woodford Town and Stanway won by 5-2. So Tilbury remain top of the league, 2 points clear of Romford, although Tilbury have two games in hand. It's Woodford Town, Sporting Bengal United and West Essex in third, fourth and fifth places. Coggeshall Town remain at the bottom with just 2 wins and 8 points. Ilford just above them with just 3 wins from their first 19 matches and they are currently in 12th. Place.
Join Patrick Sherring for Friday's edition of 1-2-3. Conversations with guests from the community and beyond. The Friday teaser quiz, a vintage chart, live music sessions, and so much more. So spend your Friday 1-2-3 with Patrick here on Phoenix FM.
So now it's time to introduce my special guest, who is Rick Prescott of Clapton Community FC, whose men's first team are currently going great guns in the Thurlow Nunn Division 1 South for their first season at that league. They're currently top of the table. Rick is the club's Thurlow Nunn League representative, and as he's going to tell us, there is a lot more to the club than just the men's first team. Rick, good to have you along. Clapton Community, it's quite a new football club. I only founded in 2018, but the backstory goes back a lot further than that, and obviously a lot of people won't be familiar with it. So can you just give us a bit of background into how the club came into being?
Yeah, of course. Over the course of 6 to 8 years, from I think around 2012 to 2018, a number of football supporters within East London became disenfranchised with Premier League, Championship, high-end football, and started attending matches at the old Spotted Dog in Forest Gate to watch a team that was playing there. And over time, they built up. I think the attendance there rose from, you know, one man and his dog to, you know, 500 at a point. And what then happened was that the supporters sort of that were attending became disenfranchised with how they were being treated there. So how they were treated. That it was the members' club, that no one was allowed to become members anymore. I think certain away grounds they got banned from, and they started boycotting matches there as well, to a point where they would go to games and stand outside the ground and stand on anything that came to hand, old fridges, chairs, and watch the game over the fence. And I think it was at that point that some of the supporters reached out to the Football Supporters Association to ask what they could do to get back in. You know, what can we do to allow us to interact with the owners of this club to get back in? And the Football Supporters Association said, well, why don't you start your own team? And it started in a pub, I believe, of a group of supporters having a chat like this. Why don't we start our own team? And at that point, you know, the cry at Clapham Community Games is, look what we've done. And from guys and girls in a pub in East London somewhere to where we are now, look what we've done. And so that's sort of like, that's a generalist view of what happened.
And then you managed to secure Leeds in 2019 on the Old Spotted Dog, where the original Clapton FC had played since 1887, I think it was. That must have been quite a moment for Clapton community.
Yeah, so what happened, I mean, you know, the owners of that ground, which were derivative of Heineken Breweries, had some issues with the old club. And for that reason, the teams were playing there were removed from the ground, and the grounds sat empty. At that point, they decided to, you know, to ask clubs to put in for a lease. And I think three or four different teams actually approached Heineken with a business plan. This is what we would like to do. And I remember it was at, I'm not sure if it was an actual AGM or if it was a meeting, you know, an internal meeting that was happening at Durning Hall in East London in Forest Gate, that one of the trustees came in and said, we've just had Heineken offer us the lease. You know, we need to have a members vote on whether we can, you know, go forward with this. So, you know, everything that Clapton Community has done on member, one vote. So we have lots of member votes. And of course, I don't think anybody voted against it. So that we were awarded the lease, and that's what we went into the, that's what we started to do. We went for the lease, and we were awarded the lease. Yeah.
Fantastic. And, one of the things which it's still rare in football at any level, really, but it's a fan-owned club, isn't it?
It is. It's set up, as I said, one member, one vote. We are run on a flat structure. We don't have a chairperson. We don't have a board of directors. We have committees. So each section of the club has a committee. And if you are a member or if you are a volunteer, you can volunteer to go on a committee. So generally, if you have a background in finance or enjoy finance, then you can be on the finance committee. We have a merchandise committee. We have a comms committee where people can help write reports, write Instagram posts and what have you, and then, or you can learn the technical aspects of uploading websites. And so it's a flat structure where you can do as little or as much as you want. And then you have, of course, a men's first team committee and a women's first team committee, which then you have a men's development and women's development. And within those committees, you have players, you have the management of those teams, but also have volunteers that help with the admin. So, you know, we don't want the players and the management team to have to worry about the FA's whole game system and log in who's playing. And so you can get involved with football aspects, you can get involved in financial aspects, and, you know, it's a community space where we want people, supporters, fans, to get involved to see what it's like to run a football club.
That's great. And you said about the various sides you've got there. I've noticed from what I've read about the club, you know, it's not all focused around one team. You've got men's and women's first team. Like you say, you've got the development side, you've got five-a-side teams, you've got a youth set up as well. You know, it's inclusive for, you know, players of, you know, sort of all age groups and sexes and so on.
Yeah, I mean, we are not put putting anyone front and forward. We don't say our men's first team is front and forward and everything comes off of that. We say that all of our teams are most important. I mean, interestingly, you know, without naming names, there are teams out there that have access to grounds that, for example, their women's team won't play at. You know, there are teams higher up the pyramid, and the reality of that is they're quite happy to rent their pitch, which they own, out to other teams as opposed to play their women's team on their pitch. So we, you know, generally our men's team play on a Saturday and our women's team on a Sunday. They both have access to the Old Spotted Dog to play their league games on. There are contentious issues with the grounds committee, which is part of the trust because of the amount of games that get played. And, you know, but we have training on a Tuesday night, training on a Saturday morning for what we call the young kids training. That is a pay what you can scenario. So we don't say you bring your children along, we're going to charge you £100 a session. It's pay what you can afford. You know, we want the community to get involved. We have a session that runs at the Old Spotted Dog. We have a session which runs at Wadham Lodge in Walthamstow, which when we used to play there before we got access back to the Old Spotted Dog, that's a historic session that takes place on a Wednesday. So we have different open access. We have a development team which sits alongside a open access and non-binary team, which are managed by different people. In fact, two of our coaches, Ellie and Julie, have just been awarded, you know, an FA. The FA have sort of awarded them a commendation on, you know, the work they do for open access and non-binary players, because that's where their specialist skill set lies. They take people who haven't played football for a long, long period of time and get them back into the football setting. And that's what we, you know, that's as a club, that's what we do. It's not about, right, we're going to go out and try and get the best men and women players and just concentrate on the top level. We're about community. We're about trying to get football access for everybody, so that, you know, they play with a smile on their face. They bring people down to the Old Spotted Dog to watch the men's team, the women's team, and a community feel based around every team is encompassed. And that's how we see, you know, football growing. This is a 100-year project. That's my saying. It's a 100-year project. This isn't, we want Clapham community to be embedded in the community from now to eternity. And people know about it, as opposed to, right, what, we're going to throw some money at it and see if we can get promoted, you know, in the next couple of years. Well, you know, that will grow organically.
That's great. Having said that, though, the success of the men's first team must have helped. You've got up to non-league step six this season. You're in the third low down Division 1 South, and they're currently top of the league, aren't they?
Yeah, we are top of the league. However, we've played a few more games than other teams in or around us. But I think the reality is that the first game of the season we played away at Wormley. Now, Wormley had been in the playoffs last season. However, you know, their manager from last season moved. They had some new players, but we didn't really know, you know, the levels. It was very difficult to gauge levels. You know, do you go in? Most of the squad that we had that came up from the Middlesex Premier Division were the same, with a few additions here and there. But we've played 22 league matches this season, which is over half of our league matches, and we've lost two games, and we've been competitive in 22 league games. And what it then shows you, there is something to be said about keeping a team together, keeping the crux of a team, keeping the team so the team know each other. You know, there's a lot of teams that a manager will leave and they'll bring their players with them. So players move around in a season. If a team will start at the beginning of the season, by Christmas, it's a completely new team.
Yep.
I get that. A player comes in, a player goes out, but you don't build up an understanding. And there is discussion within the fan base about, what, you know, we can win this league. I think as a club, and again, this is strictly from my point of view, as a club, I think we need to breathe. We need to just relax, and we understand where we are. We're competitive at this level. You know, do we really want to go up to step five, which means there's more ground improvement, which means more, lots and lots of work? Because the promotion from last season, even though we won the Middlesex Premier Division, wasn't guaranteed. It was still, we didn't know, because it was due to the ground grading and the FA. We didn't know whether we'd get promoted until the 31st of March, when the leagues were announced. But they don't tell you in advance, they give you a heads up. Actually, it was the 31st of March was when the ground grading had to be in. I think it was the 1st of June that we found that we had been promoted, because the ground came up to FA expectations. And, you know, we didn't know. So I think it's an achievement of the players and the management structure at the club to be competitive at the level we are, when there are teams out there that pay players, you know. We're an amateur team. We give players some petrol money here and there, but generally they don't get paid, and we try and give them a lot more. So we try to make sure that the environment is one to enjoy playing football, that, you know, that they get support if there's anything they need. You know, the committees are there to help them, and, you know, play football with a smile on your face.
That's great. And are you still putting in good crowds there? Because before Clapton CFC was formed, began attracting these new fans sort of 10 or 11 years ago, the attendance is, as you mentioned earlier, absolutely ballooned. And, you know, they built up quite a reputation for their sort of passionate support. Are those people still turning up to the matches?
Yeah, the last game, possibly the second to last game at the Old Spotted Log last season, which would have been the first game the FA allowed us, or the Middlesex Counties League allowed us to play at the Old Spotted Dog, we won against Kensington Dragons 3-0 to, I think, win the league, and we had 900, just over 900.
Wow.
There. We had a doubleheader men's and women's team match pre-season against FC United of Manchester, and there was over 1,200 there over the course of the day. The women's team played a pre-season friendly against FC St. Pauli women's team, and I think there were over 700. And on Saturday just gone, when we played Benfleet, there were 426 of, you know, people in attendance. So we are, I think we have the second highest home attendance in the Stirling and South Division, behind Harlow, who came down from step three last year to our step because of pitch issues. And we are away to Harlow on Saturday, and possibly this will be the first league game in the club's history where there will be more away fans than, or there'll be more opposition fans than there will be Clapton fans in attendance. But we have had that in friendlies at FC United Manchester, but I think this will be the first time. So again, it's different things, different focuses. So it's a change for, you know, generally 50 Clapton supporters go away, and generally you go to teams that don't have a massive fan base. So generally you're the ones that you've got most supporters there, but it's going to be a change on Saturday.
And living under the name Clapton Community, you've got involved in things in the local community in Newham as well, haven't you, Rick? Can you tell me a bit about those?
Yeah, the whole aspect of community is to drive the Clapton name, Clapton Community, through the community. During lockdown, for example, there was a proposal that we have a help fund. So people that were struggling or financially would come to the club, no questions asked. So we had a so you could donate to the help fund. You know, if I fell on hard times, I could go to the club and say, "Can they help me?" And over the course of the period of lockdown, we were able to help a number of local people. And on the back of that, the Football Supporters Association gave us Community Club of the Year for, I think it was 2022, possibly 2022-23, for that purpose. But, you know, we are about engaging with the community. We're about opening the clubhouse for local events. We're about helping people who've never been, you know. There's lots of people in Newham around the Old Spotted Dog that have never been to a game of football, and we have people come in that stand and say, I didn't know this was here. I've never been to a game of football. What a wonderful experience I've had."
And that's brilliant.
You hope that the environment you can give people is one that they want to come back to. Of course, there's going to be situations when, you know, different people are not happy for whatever reason, but you try and, you know, help people. If something occurs, you have accountability, you have the welfare committees that can help with those sort of issues that ever crop up.
It's fantastic to hear what you're doing. It's clearly working on and off the field, and I wish the club every success going forward.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for your time, Rick. It's been great speaking
to you, John.
Thank you.
And you as well. Thank you very much.
Cheers. Thanks a lot to Rick Prescott for his time. And incidentally, Clapton Community's men's side remain top of the Furlough Nun Division 1 South after they beat Benfleet 2-1 on Saturday. Hutton, Cannonswood, Harlow Town and Dumbo Town and Benfleet in 6 currently behind them. Right, I'm going to have to quickly whiz through the forthcoming week's fixtures because we haven't got much time before I make way for Gareth and Bumper to Bumper. So Saturday in the National League, Southend United have a long trip to Gateshead, currently in fifth place. Dagenham and Redbridge host Rochdale, that's the one, at the Chibwell Construction Stadium. Meanwhile, in the National League South, Aveley travel to Weymouth. Chelmsford City host Truro City, and Braintree Town have a trip to Slough Town. Isthmian Premier League this week. Tabletoppers Hornchurch travel to Kingstonian. Billericay Town are away to Margate. Canberra Island, they are at Hastings United, and Concord Rangers face Horsham, who have been reinstated in the FA Cup after Barnsley was thrown out of the competition. Hashtag United also in action on Saturday. They travel to Cheshire. On Tuesday night, Billericay Town and Canberra Island have home matches against Carl Shorten Athletic and Chatham Town, respectively. Meanwhile, in the Isthmian North, Saturday's action sees Bramall Town face Wroxham. Barrows and Pitsy have a local derby against Basildon United. Walthamstow travels to Bury Town. Redbridge are at Galston. Haybridge Smith take on Brightling Sea Regent. Bolton and Tittree travel to New Salamis. The bottom two meet on Saturday. Stowmarket Town against Grays Athletic. Darren Manning in charge of Grays for the first time. And Whittam Town face Felixstowe and Walton United. Meanwhile, in the Southern League Division 1 Central, big game for Waltham Abbey, currently in third place. They're away to North Lee, currently in second. Essex Senior Cup this week. Three ties on Tuesday night. Pitsy versus Aveley, Housley Town versus Chelmsford City, and Stanway Rovers versus Braintree Town. Essex Senior League, a couple of games on Friday night. Ilford face White Ensign, and history will be made in that match. April Smith will be the first woman to manage a match in the Essex Senior League. She's standing in for Ensign's boss, Erin Bloxham, and she's also the coach of Southend United's women's side, as well as being involved at White Ensign. Woodford Town take on Saffron Walden Town also on Friday night. Saturday's fixtures includes Tilbury at home to FC Clacton. Spartan South Midlands League Premier Division, Stansted have a home match against Cockfosters on Saturday. And just looking finally at the Thurlow Nun Division 1 South, there's one game on Friday night, Maine Baker versus South in Manor. Clapton Community, as you heard from Rick, has that big game at Harlow Town on Saturday. I'd say that's probably the game of the day in the Thurlow Nun Division 1 South. In Division 1 North, Harwich and Parkstone travels to Haverhill Borough. Holland, the leaders, take on Great Yarmouth Town. So I've not got time to run through those fixtures in full, but you can find them online. If you're going to a non-league game in the next week or so, I hope you enjoy it. Thanks again to Rick Presker for a great chat. Thanks to Chad Patmore and Eddie Gardner for their reports on Benwicky Town and Braintree Town as well. I'm back on Phoenix FM Saturday afternoons, 3 till 6pm with Phoenix Sport. Hope you can join me then. If not, I'm back with the non-league hour on Thursday, next Thursday, that is between 7 and 8pm. Gareth is next with Bumper to Bumper. Bye for now.
Across Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.